Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to the Mark Fraley Podcast. Today is March 17, 2019, a sunny Sunday morning here in Nashville. Perhaps a little frost this morning, but the sun is bright and it promises to be in the low 60s today, perfect for getting out in the garden. Now, there is such a thing as the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association, TRPA. For people who work in the parks and, recreation field, this is the professional association. Like most occupational organizations, they have a large annual meeting and lots of training opportunities throughout the year. And like other occupational and professional organizations, they give each other awards. The recognition of excellence is important to all professions. And of course, there's something special about being recognized by your peers. Each year, the TRPA presents to one individual the Fellow Award. This is presented for outstanding contributions to the field of parks and recreation. This award has been presented since the late 1970s, and so there are 40 or so people to whom this award has been presented. As time goes by, I hope that in this podcast I can introduce you to some of those people. Previously, we've interviewed Mary Wary, Ann Marshall, and Tommy Lynch, all Fellow Award winners. Yesterday, I had the honor to interview my old friend Brad Chambers, who received the TRPA Fellow Award back in 1989. We talk about his outstanding career and his experiences in parks and recreation here in Tennessee and elsewhere. In the hectic day-to-day experience of parks and recreation leaders, it is rare to truly find a wise person able to remain calm and deliberately move the plan forward. Brad is one such individual. And so I hope you'll enjoy my interview today with Brad Chambers. Brad Chambers, welcome to the Mark Fraley Podcast.
Thanks, Mark. The stars aligned for this to happen and me to be here and the timing. So, yeah, this
is
great.
Thank you for coming in. I know you're in town visiting from out of state, and I guess you came in last night to go to a concert of some sort.
Came in yesterday afternoon, drove in from Charlotte, went to the Ryman, and saw Little Feat, which is my favorite band since college. And then we're going to go do some sightseeing today.
Fantastic.
And drive back and see my daughter in Cookeville tomorrow on the way
back.
Well,
it's kind of a crazy weekend in Nashville with the SEC tournament going on.
It was last night.
Yeah. So downtown is just packed.
Right. And it was interesting seeing all of the new businesses and bars and things that have opened up just since I've been down here last.
Right. So, Brad, you know, as you know, I've been trying as I can to get folks in here who have been awarded the TRPA Fellow Award and sit down and interview them. I've done four, I think, up to this point of those folks, and you're another one. I think actually you got the award, if I'm not mistaken, in 87 or 88.
That would be my guess too.
Okay.
Honestly, it's somewhere in that 87, 6, 7, 8, 9 range. So
I looked at the list the other day, and it actually was the year right after the year that I got that award.
Okay.
So I wanted to talk with you about your career in parks and recreation and your life circumstances and all those kind of things. Where'd you grow up, Brad?
Knoxville. Grew up in Knoxville, and my first job, actually paying job, not mowing yards job, was okay. Working for the Knoxville maintenance department for Parks and Rec.
So okay.
Was working out of the old Winona shop and dragging ball fields and building fences and putting playground equipment up and really learning it from the ground up, not necessarily because that's what I wanted to do someday, but that was right. The first job. And it really gave me a great background as to...
So which neighborhood in Knoxville?
I went to Holston High School.
Okay.
So east... Knoxville off Rutledge Pike.
Okay, all right. So you got started working in the Maynard Glen
exactly.
Park and Recreation Agency
right.
Up there. My goodness, that's and then you went to the University of Tennessee.
I did, and was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And of course, we both know Charlie Ellenberg really well,
right?
And who was a childhood friend.
Okay.
Charlie's much, much older than me. I want to make that clear. But
well, Charlie, I'm sure we'll be listening to this at some point. So hi, Charlie.
But Charlie had gone to Clemson and majored in Parks and Rec.
That's right.
And,
That's right.
My mom was talking to his mother, I guess, and I was still kind of struggling what I wanted to do when I was a sophomore or junior. And she says, well, why don't you major in recreation? That's what Charlie did. That's what you've been doing the last 3 or 4 summers. And it kind of light bulb went on. And I said, well, yeah, that makes sense. So it all played out.
So you got into the UT program, and I'm guessing key professors there, Ken Crick was there.
One of the early mentors.
Dr. Peters.
Right. Those were the two that I can remember.
Right. Did you enjoy that program?
I did, especially working with Ken. Right. He was really a good guy, and I mean, I remember helping him move one summer when he moved from one house to another.
Okay.
So we became semi-close for a professor student.
And, you know, I lost touch with Ken. I don't know, has he retired or do you even know?
I don't.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Crick, I guess, was a graduate of Ohio State and came down to Tennessee and
I don't remember
as a PhD in recreation, which is a rare bird in those days.
Exactly.
Terrific, terrific guy, and I credit him with getting his graduates to understand that it was more than balls and bats and that sort of thing, but there was actually an administration part of it.
And that's exactly what I did, and we talked about, and I took that track and took the, because that's what I wanted to be, was a director somewhere at that point.
Right. So the first time I think I remember you, and I don't remember whether I ever met you during your student days. Ann Marshall was in last year, and we talked, and I remember meeting her when she was a student at UT. But the first time I remember meeting you was when you were at Athens, Tennessee.
Right.
So you got hired to be director at Athens.
Right. Followed Larry Zender.
Yes, and worked for Marvin Bollinger.
Bollinger, you know, right.
Marvin was the city manager in Athens, and
we're in touch. We stay in touch quite often. Matter of fact, his wife just died. Last October, November, and they had a celebration of life back in Athens. And he invited a lot of people, so I got to see a lot of people I worked with in Athens. Haven't seen him in 30 years, and went back for that.
I presume that he's retired at this point.
He is. He lives in Florida in Boca Raton. And, I think doing some development work.
But. Well, he was kind of a legend in city management circles around Tennessee.
Yeah, and very supportive of Parks and Rec.
Well, tell us about what it was like working in that small town.
It was great because it was my first director position. I'd been in Rockdale County, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, for about 9 or 10 months as an assistant, and then Larry left and had the chance to come back to Tennessee and take that job. But it was a great experience because it was small, and you could learn without it being overwhelming. You know, the staff was small, the administrative staff was small, and it was a great situation for me to again learn it from the ground up.
Athens is a community that is kind of it's county seat, I guess. No.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And so there's an agricultural economy in that county, but there's also some manufacturing going on there.
And even back then there was a White Westinghouse had a big plant, and there was a semi-trailer manufacturing plant, if I remember right. Yeah. And they've added several things since.
Well, tell us about what you did in terms of new parks or new recreation programs in Athens.
Oh, wow. I don't know that we built anything new. Well, Sunset Park, which is now, I think it's called Memorial Park now, but right when I got there, they had just started the planning for that. So again, it was an opportunity for me to be on board, work with a planning staff, work with an architect, and go through the entire planning process with a CDBG grant alongside a creek, a floodplain. So learning that from the grant.
Community Development Block Grant which is a HUD program, very rare to get grants for parks out of that program.
It is now. Yeah. Back then, it was a little easier,
right?
Because it was a depressed part of the city, so it would qualify.
We decided
to make that a feature park and put a really neat fountain right there on the street on the corner, And it became, I mean, it was on the cover of the phone book. It was on the, a lot of Chamber of Commerce brochures. It became kind of a focal point of the city, which was neat. That was, what, 30-something years ago. So it's right. It's been taken away and just now it's a plaza. But at the time, it was a pretty cool thing
all
to
right.
have.
All right. So how many years were you there at Athens?
Nine, I believe.
Okay. And you were, during that time, began to be involved pretty deeply in the Tennessee Recreation and Parks Association.
Right. I was president when I was in Athens, pretty sure.
Okay.
I was president.
Okay. Well, tell us about that experience.
It's sort of a natural progression because I've been on a lot of the committees and just worked my way up and enjoyed that. Enjoyed, again, the administration part of it. And I guess, I don't know if there's a, if you say one thing that we did that was profound, but we hired the first executive director. We hired Kathleen
right.
when I was president.
Right. You know, I was researching before we got together today, and I found in the Tennessean newspaper the advertisement that was put in the paper to solicit for people to bring their resumes in to be TRPA's executive
right.
director. So, and that was Kathleen that
Kathleen
was hired.
Williams, right.
Wow. Well, she turned out to be a great find.
She was, and she was head and shoulders the best candidate that we had of the ones
right.
we interviewed.
Well, and she just knocked the top out of it for about 15 or 20
right.
years. Yeah, was a terrific director. So you were there in Athens for 9 years and then moved to Cookeville.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brad, I tell you, I remember going to Cookeville and meeting with their park board one time back probably in 83 or 82.
Yeah, okay. Putnam County Park
Putnam
Board.
Putnam County. A fellow by the name of Jess Medlin, as I recall.
Right, right.
And I just did not think that there was any potential at all for anything progressive to happen in Cookeville. So tell me how, about your experience getting hired there and how
And you're right.
Okay.
The way it was structured when, you know, what you're talking about.
Right.
But what happened was Dwight Henry, bless his heart, and I'll always say great things about Dwight, was elected mayor and ran on a very progressive platform. And one of the first things he did immediately was to do a Cookeville Tomorrow strategic planning, citywide strategic planning. What does the city need between now and the year 2000
okay.
back then? And out of the, I don't know, 100 and something recommendations, the numbers 1, 3, and 4, if I remember right, were parks and rec oriented.
Wow.
And one of them was to establish a city department. And so he convinced others on the city council that the city needed their own department.
Okay.
Separate from
Rather
the county.
Rather than relying on the county. I'd forgotten that was a separate, that it was a county agency. But
right.
yeah, I'm sure you know more than I do.
The city was giving the county money every year. Just as a direct appropriation.
I got it.
And so the city said, we're going to do our own thing, went through the process, hired the first director to set up the department, which was myself.
Okay.
And I came on board, which was by far the most enjoyable, fun job I've ever had, to be able to start that from
so exciting.
The word go.
So exciting. So did you have actually a park board, or were you just working for the
just
mayor?
Working for the city manager.
Oh, there was a city manager
right.
type form of government. Okay. And did you have existing parks there?
Yes, there were a few existing parks that Cane Creek Park, which is a 200 and something acre regional park, was there, a flood protection park that had been developed but wasn't programmed. There were a couple picnic shelters there, and there was one guy that would just take reservations, but there was really no structure.
Okay.
And so we really began to program Cane Creek Park and built two or three additional parks that first couple of years and kind of got us up and running, and people began to see what a true city professional department could be and do. And
well, you know, to this degree, my recollection is it was referred to as the Department of Leisure Services.
It still is.
Is it still? Okay.
Right.
And in those days, that was kind of a credential that only the most progressive departments really had.
And that was a recommendation, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, that
right.
was a recommendation that I had to to the mayor, to Mayor Henry and some others, to distinguish it from the county, to kind of even have a different name entirely than the county, just so that there was there was no question as to which department somebody would be referring to when they're talking about one or the other.
Right.
And the other thing that happened was there were several independent little boards. The Drama Center had its own board. The Depot Museum had its own board. So when they created the Leisure Services Department, those boards were disbanded as policy boards, and those employees rolled in under Leisure Services. So we came out of the gate with some professional staff already there.
Well, tell us more about that, and tell us more about the facilities that you have there in Cookeville.
Well, again, the Drama Center, which was a great, still is, the Performing Arts Center, and Rick Woods, who's now the director, followed me, was on board. And
he's now the director of Parks and Recreation.
Right.
Okay.
So after, you know, last year they celebrated their 30th year in existence, which is hard to believe, and did a big 30-year celebration about how it started, and I was called and asked for quotes, and it was kind of neat to be part of that. But Rick was on board, and Marilyn Brinker was the depot director, who was also very professional. So again, we had, you know, some professional staff. I got to hire my first secretary. I shouldn't say it that way. I got to hire the first secretary of the department.
Okay.
And Janice was, I mean, she was my right arm. She was, in all essence, an assistant director. She was awesome. And so we were lucky to acquire and be able to have on board from day one some really good staff. And once I turned around explained to a few people that were hesitant about the creation of the Leisure Services Department what I wanted to do, what my vision was. Marge Hargrove, who I love to death, was, I think she was chairman of the Drama Center board, and was very hesitant about, I mean, she was thinking I was going to come in and make that a gym, you know, turn it into a basketball arena. Okay. And I had to have several conversations with Marge. That is not at all what I want to do. I want to keep it and expand it and make it better. And once she believed that and realized that's what was going to happen, she was one of the biggest advocates we had. So it took some time to prove to people what we wanted to do and what it could be. But once we did that, more and more people rallied around, and now I'd say that it's as popular as any department anywhere in the state, certainly, and as popular as any department in Cookeville.
The park that you talked about earlier, is it Cane Creek?
Cane
Creek Park.
Right.
We were through Cookeville a couple of summers ago, and actually stopped and had a restroom break there at that park and walked around. And I really was not familiar with that park before then. But it's a beautiful little area.
And literally, when I got there, there were two picnic shelters. That was it. There was the lake. And
there's a little pond there.
Yeah, exactly. It was about a 50-acre small lake and a couple picnic shelters, and that was it. And so it's all been developed since then.
And so there's trails and...
Right. We've added a couple... Well, I added at least one more picnic shelter. They might have added more since then.
Right.
And the boat rental area with paddle boats and canoes. And so there's a lot of things that we added that to really make it more of a destination.
They had a little nature study thing going on there.
We worked with Tennessee Tech when I was there to put together the trail, but it was also an interpretive trail about the importance of the watershed and what that lake was, the impoundment. And so it was the opportunity to work with Tech and some others as in partnerships.
So Brad, you know, I kind of think that the local park and recreation agencies kind of become the environmental education departments of cities sometimes. What do you think about that idea?
Without question. If a city doesn't have like an environmental management division of some sort, then you're absolutely right.
Right.
That's our role, is to do that education and to explain to elected officials and the management and other department heads why it's important. There are, as you know, numerous studies that have shown the economic impact and the economic value of protecting watersheds, because that's a lot cheaper from natural runoff and filtration as opposed to building new water treatment plants, just as one of many examples.
So our parks and recreation agencies have gotten a long way away from the Maynard Glenn School of Parks and Recreation. Is that a fair thing to say?
Balls and bats and whistles. You're right.
So, and thankfully so.
Yep.
You mentioned Charlie Ellenberg as we got started. And, you know, as you well know, Charlie is a mentor of mine.
And a lot of us.
And a bunch of us. Yeah. Charlie, for the audience, was a person who worked for TVA for most of his professional career. Mm-hmm. His role there at TVA was to reach out to cities and counties and help in states. I guess he had six states that he worked with.
Right.
To help them in grow the park and recreation elements in the cities and counties.
That touched TVA properties. I think that was kind of their geographic restrictions, is that if there was a TVA presence, then he wouldn't go to West Tennessee just because, but if it was a TVA type of lake or property or impoundment, then they
were your other influences in park and recreation as you progressed through your career?
John Wilbanks. John and I were good friends, still are, but especially back then, we kidded all the time. If we had a dollar for every mile we'd spent in a car together, we'd be independently wealthy, and because we went to every TRPA meeting together and went to lots of conferences together, so John and I, and it was a great time because we'd sit there and brainstorm back and forth in the car. What are you doing? How do you think you're handling this? And it was great, those three-hour trips from Athens, Cookeville, Maryville to Nashville to TRPA board meetings and back. We had lots of great discussions.
John was, his first encounter with Tennessee, I guess, was to be the director at Maryville, Blount County.
Right. Maryville, Alcoa, Blount County,
Which was a unique agency because back in the day they were a unified department.
Yep.
The two cities and the county got together to create one recreation agency, mm-hmm. and
one of the few park boards in Tennessee still.
Yes,
that's a policy board,
and so he became their director, I guess, after.
Oh, Tom Lovell,
Tom,
I think. Tom Lovell's in Bristol. I'm sorry. I don't know who was before.
Mike Krausen was the director there. And then Mike went over to work at TVA along with Mike. So John Wilbanks was an influence of yours. Okay.
Yeah, John, and not just an influence, but a really good friend, too. So it was a great friendship and colleagueship that we had for many, many years.
Well, the TRPA meetings that I used to attend regularly were great times to get together with people and learn.
Yeah, they were. Joyce Hoyle would be another one. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking of names that were mentors and friends, but those are two that would come to mind. But yeah, you're right. You'd go there and, you know, the first half hour, 45 minutes, we're just walking around hugging everybody and saying, hi, how are things going? It was a big family.
So, Brad, you know, I was at the doctor's office the other day, and the nurse was chatting me up. I was having kind of a little procedure done, a dermatological procedure. And the nurse was chatting me up, I guess, to keep me relaxed and not so nervous. And I mentioned that I had been in Parks and Recreation, and she immediately focused on the television situation comedy program, Parks and Recreation.
Right.
And, you know, my experience in small town park and recreation is it's a lot like that.
I saw a couple shows, but from the two shows that I saw, I agree. There are a lot of the shake your head and think, what's going on? But yeah, unfortunately,
different things present themselves every day. And I mentioned that because you're talking about the camaraderie among the professionals, and when we got together, we didn't have to explain because everybody else was working in the same.
Right, we're all in the same boat.
They all had the same pressures from city councilmen and people in the community about what you're doing, what you're not doing. Tell us more about that.
Well, like you said, I think we've all gone through that in various iterations. And one of the, I don't know, the challenges, I guess, that everybody faces is there were times in Cookeville where it was much more challenging. You had a council that was not as friendly toward parks and recreation and expansion and acquiring property or whatever it may be. And then there were other times when there was one council. We had a great council when Mayor Gene Davis was the mayor and Betty Vaden was vice mayor. We had a great progressive council that wanted to see things done. And during that council, the department applied for and received the Tennessee Quality Award, which was not just a government award. It was business, industry, private, public, whoever.
For innovation and that sort of thing.
And it was based on the Malcolm Baldrige criteria. Okay. And we were the only Parks and Recreation Department in the state that were awarded that. But one of the reasons was because we had so much support from that particular mm-hmm. council to go do creative things. And it was, those are the times when it's really fun, is when you get the backing of the elected officials too.
And then sometimes it's the other side.
Other times you just hunker down and do what you can with what you're given.
So Brad, how long were you in Cookeville?
13 years.
Terrific. And you moved on to where?
I moved on to Columbus, Georgia. Columbus, Muskogee County, Consolidated Government, Georgia. I had, in hindsight, it was not a good move to make. Okay. And again, Cookeville by far is the best job I ever had. I got a letter out of the blue, and I don't know how they got my name, but they said, we've had this job opening, we're looking for a director, if you're interested, let us know. So I contacted them back. They had just passed, well, first of all, the state had created a new structure for local option sales tax. And Cookeville had just passed a 1 cent local option sales tax, most of which was going to parks. They had $10 million a year in capital money to spend on park projects, which was a pretty exciting environment to be able to go into. The Columbus Civic Center was under the department. The South Commons Softball Complex, which hosted the 96 Olympic Games, the Atlanta, it was the softball venue. So it was some great facilities. And I thought, this, if I'm ever going to go somewhere that's the next step up, this is it. So I took the job and immediately realized this was not really a good job to take. And for those out there who care and are listening, when you're interviewing for a job, make sure you're interviewing for the person you're going to work for, not the person that you're not going to work for.
Okay.
Because I interviewed with a city manager who was great, but I worked for the assistant city manager who wasn't so great.
Okay.
And I didn't really know that until at the very end of the process. So lesson learned, and that I had a great staff. Still a lot of the people there stay in touch with. But the micromanagement of it was tough for me to take. After being in Cookeville where I didn't have that, and being in Athens where I didn't have that, to be in that environment where everything's questioned and you're told everything to do like you don't know how to do it, it was tough for me to accept.
And so how long were you there?
2 years.
Okay.
And part of what happened then was I was there from 2000 to 2002. Well, of course, right in the middle of that is 9/11.
Okay.
And being in the Navy Reserve, I was mobilized after 9/11, as many reservists were.
Okay.
Went to Germany, worked for European Command at Stuttgart, and did that for a while, came back, and just kind of realized this isn't working and shouldn't work, and so I resigned. And
okay.
He and the assistant city manager, without even interviewing, appointed my assistant the next day as the director without interviewing or anything. So he at least was excited to see me go, I think.
Well, and they held that, of course, they're obligated to hold that job for you as a reservist.
Right. And I came back to it for,
right,
I don't know, a month or two.
Right. So did you have other jobs in parks and recreation after that?
I did.
Okay.
I actually was on orders for a while, just various places in the military.
Okay.
And then went to Grandview, Missouri.
Right.
As the director, okay. Which again was one of those getting to start something. They had just built a new 60,000 square foot community center.
Wow.
As lots of suburbs of Kansas City and suburbs of St. Louis and Chicago and other, the Denver pockets of the country seemed to do that, but Kansas City was one. So we had this brand new community center. The director had basically got it built, and then he retired. And they wanted someone to come in and really get the structure up and running. So I was hired and put together the staffing structure and the pricing structure, the membership structure, all of the things you have to have for a facility like that. And it was a big success. We had a huge, it was the conference center, if you will, mm-hmm. for Grandview. So big conference center wing that was in the back that we rented and created a partnership with the Chamber of Commerce that it became the official meeting facility with the chamber. So we got a lot of extra business by doing things like that. And again, it was that public-private partnership thought process that,
fantastic.
That made that
fantastic.
Successful.
So you're now doing consulting work.
I am.
Tell us about that.
I am. Well, I've had since, gosh, the early 90s, being asked to help departments here and there with staffing plans or facilitating meetings. I worked with the Tennessee Department of Environment Conservation, Joyce and Ann and Mark Tummins and some others mm-hmm. In one of their staff retreats years ago. So I've done that in the past as just a part-time sideline business. But since moving to Charlotte, I decided I'm not quite ready to give it up yet. So I wanted to go ahead and get into this more. So when we went to an open streets in Charlotte last summer and was talking to the Parks and Rec director manager for Land Design Incorporated, which is a big urban design, nationwide urban design company. And she was asking my wife, Alice, and I how we met. And I was telling her that story about being on the supervisor school board together. And she said, so you've got a Parks and Rec background. I said, oh yeah, I've been a director. Very briefly told her what we just talked about.
Right.
And she said, you could help us out. And so they got a job in Salisbury, which is just north of Charlotte, to do their master plan. So I'm doing all of the operations review. Everything, obviously, I'm not a GIS, I'm not a mapper or right. a drawer, but right. if it's fees and charges, cost recovery, maintenance, programming, structure, staffing, that kind of nuts and bolts stuff, I'm doing all of that.
Well, that's fantastic. And I know that you have had an emphasis on leadership as a as something to give a lot of and techniques of leadership and philosophies about leadership.
I think we all should, honestly. Okay. I think that should be something we all look at. But it's been important to me, one, because I've worked for some really good leaders and have seen the right way to do it, and I've had a couple of examples working for ones that aren't so good, right. Which I call cowardly leadership, because they really don't want to face up, don't want to sit down face to face and do the things that leaders do and make tough decisions. So the website I put together is cowardlyleadership.com. And for a long time, I wrote just blogs about leadership, both good and bad examples. And now it's evolved into the website for the Kelly Group. So it's still got some of the blogs there, but it also tells about what we do as a consulting group.
Okay, so that's cowardlyleadership.com. So folks, if you want to check out what Brad's up to these days, that's where you can find information about what he's doing. Brad, as we wind up, the landscape for parks and recreation in Tennessee, and you're as familiar with that as anybody, has changed dramatically over the last 25 or 30 years. We've gone from communities like Cookeville that have been just out there with nothing really going on. Even a town like Franklin, as prosperous as it is now, had nothing going on in parks and recreation. And we've had a real change in what local governments, how they think about parks and recreation. Tell us about that.
Wow, this just off the top of my head. I think part of that is your era, my era. Those of us that are of this age are now at the age where we're retiring or getting close to retirement or kind of on our way out. I remember there was I don't know how in jest it was, but some of us were called the TRPA Mafia back in the day. Kitty and John and myself and some others that were coming up the ranks. But now we're at the point where we can see the end. And so you've got the next generation that's doing it a different way, and not necessarily a bad way, it's just a different way. So one is different ways of looking at things. Right. One, and part of that is technology, just as an example.
Sure.
You know, we didn't have cell phones and electronic recware registration software and all of those things back when we were coming up. It is what it was. I remember getting the first computer when I was in Cookeville. So coming up through that era without the technology that now this generation has come up with in its second nature. So that's just one thing. Right. And how do you incorporate all of those newfangled ways of doing things? So that's just one example. Another is that so many communities that were small bedroom communities are now standalone cities in a lot of cases.
Right.
And so they're really having to ramp up their services.
Right. Well, I can remember the early days when the Department of Conservation was giving grants out to cities and counties for parks. They still do this.
Mm-hmm.
But they gave no consideration whatsoever to the capability of the community to actually manage the park or even program it. That was kind of even a tertiary thought. Well, maybe they can maintain it, keep the litter picked up, but the thought about doing programming to get the most out of the facility mm-hmm. was not considered at all. Now that philosophy changed in the state government.
Right.
And through leadership, people like Joyce and Mark Tummins and Ann Marshall,
right.
We started looking at communities before we gave them grant money and asking them to perform.
And I would assume that part of that process was also as NRPA developed the CPRP, the Certified Park and Recreation Professional, that mandated or at least indicated that this person knows what they're doing before they're going to come into a position. And I think at some point the state adopted that said we want to see a CPRP in a position before we're, at least you'll get extra points if you have one or something like that. You would know that better than
well, I. Well, in the early days it was just do they have someone who is got the job to manage the thing.
Right.
The credentials of that person were not quite so important. Did they have training in parks and recreation per se,
mm-hmm.
but just somebody whose job it was to do this. But now, actually, as you're pointing out, the cities and city and county governments are actually going, for credentialed people.
Yeah, I don't know the last time I've ever seen any job announcement that didn't have that as at least a preferred, if not a required.
You know, I think one of the things, Brad, interesting to know your thoughts about this. It was the early 80s when the doctrine of sovereign immunity was abolished, which permitted cities and counties to be sued for negligent activities in park and recreation departments. Whether it was a swing set problem or whether it was a faulty facility or whatever. I think cities and counties now are looking for credentialed people as one way of managing their liability and their risk.
Right. And at least those people know enough to ask the right questions, to say, do we have a risk manager on staff or do we have an attorney that needs to be involved with, I don't know, a waiver or whatever it may be. So back in the day, you didn't even know enough to ask the question. So.
I can remember going and doing a playground safety audit for the city of Knoxville. This was probably back in 87 or 88. And I went around to 25 or 30 parks in Knoxville, and their playgrounds, I mean, just the playground equipment it was terrible, just as you can imagine.
Yeah.
And I wrote this report up. Now we have certified playground
safety
inspectors in a lot of cities and counties in Tennessee. Talk about that.
The Consumer Product Safety Commission has strongly recommended that be a policy that any governmental organization that has playground equipment would have that.
Right.
And matter of fact, that's one of the recommendations that we're strongly making in Salisbury. We're doing the master plan is that they because they don't right now have someone on staff that the CPSI certified, and that every organization needs that. And you can even go find someone who can contract with. If you don't have one on staff, right, you can go find someone to do it, right, for you. But just to keep you out of legal trouble, right, that's just a smart thing to do. Right. Make sure your equipment's what it ought to be.
Well, that sort of credentialing is sort of all throughout recreation agencies these days, whether, sure, you're a yoga instructor or
certified pool and operator.
That's swimming pools, fitness instructors, whatever it might be. They, right, if you don't have that credential, there's a liability exposure.
You
there.
Are. You're setting yourself up for at some point in time to be sued. That, right, doesn't necessarily mean you'll be at fault, but, right, you're asking for it, and you don't want to do that.
Well, Brad, we were talking about people that were influential in your career. I really would like to get more of the folks like yourself who have been awarded the TRPA Fellow Award in to be interviewed. Charlie Ellenberg is one that I really definitely want to get in.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And I've talked with him, but he's a little reluctant to do it. But Jerry Gist is another one that I want to get.
Jerry, I talked to Jerry last year. Yeah. As a matter of fact, he's the mayor in Jackson now.
Of Madison County.
No, the city of Jackson.
Oh, okay. Well, he'd been the county mayor.
He had been the county mayor. Now he's the city of Jackson mayor.
I didn't realize that. Okay.
I talked to him pitching an energy audit idea that for a company that we're working with also, and ended up talking to him. And he had just had done one done with TVA, but
I need to go just travel down to take my microphone and travel down to Jackson and interview him.
He sounded the sound of the same, at least on the phone.
Well, and John Wilbanks is another one. And John has had been the director in Pigeon Ford.
Right.
And I presume he's just
he retired. Right. A couple years ago, I believe.
Right. Now, Lanny Goodwin took that job.
Right.
Retired from Murfreesboro. Couldn't stand retirement. So he unretired and went to Pigeon Forge.
Which kind of is, I would think, would be a good fit. That's not for me to say, but right. Murfreesboro is one of the few cities in Tennessee that have one of those large community centers like I was talking about in Grandview, right, as this Pigeon Forge. So Lanny had that management experience background of that kind of facility that would be a good fit, I would, right, think, would be one of the reasons.
You know, I have not seen the Pigeon Forge community center.
Is
it nice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been there once when, yeah, John was there, but yeah, it's a nice facility.
I was involved in the planning of the one in Sevierville. I left there before it was constructed, but Bob Parker is another one that I would, yep, like to get and sit down and talk with, who's been the director in Sevierville for 35 years.
For a long time, yeah.
And was TRPA president at one point in time.
Kitty, I'm not telling you who to
Well, all these people, thank you for mentioning her. Kitty started the program in Jonesboro and is now in Kingsport.
Right.
And just a terrific, terrific leader.
And Kitty followed me as president of TRPA.
Oh, so I'd forgotten that.
We worked together.
I'd forgotten that.
President-president-elect.
So that's terrific. So as you speak with these people, let's encourage them to give us a call and reach out and let's get
Well, hopefully they'll listen to
talking.
This.
Hopefully
and
they
get,
will.
And get in touch with you.
Well, Brad, you've so nice to come in on this sunny, beautiful Saturday morning and spend some time talking with us.
Well, like I said in the beginning, the stars aligned for us to be here when you called and said, if you ever happen to be in Nashville. And I said, well, it just so happens. It's not like, I guess I can't tell you the last time I've been in Nashville, but the timing of this was very synergistic.
Well, thank you for making yourself available. I've enjoyed speaking with you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.